إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وحده في ذاته ووحده في صفاته، وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله، وكفى بالله شهيدا. فصلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال تبارك وتعالى كما ورد في سورة التحريم بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا قوا أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا وقودها الناس والحجارة عليها ملائكة غلاظ شداد لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. إن شاء الله today I will continue the second part of the discussion on this الآية المباركة from سورة التحريم. O you who believe, save yourselves and your families from the fire of hell. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding the believers, those who claim faith and belief in Him, to save themselves and their families from the blazing fire. This concept of hell and paradise is real. The choices in the hereafter are two. And in the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wa innaha la jannatun abada aw la narun abada. In the hereafter, it is one of the two choices. It will be either the paradise forever or the hellfire forever. There can be absolutely no other choice. In another place, the Prophet would say, wa inna al jannata haqq وَالنَّارُ حَقٌّ. Definitely, the paradise is real. The hellfire is real. Out of love for His believing human beings, knowing very well the obstacles and the hurdles man to face and encounter in this world, He subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reminds by way of command, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. O you who believe, save yourselves and your families from the fire. Regarding this great ayah, I mentioned three things last week. They are, number one, a believer's goal in this life must always be the paradise. The objective is, how can I attain the paradise? How can I be successful on the day of judgment? The second point, in this regards, salvation that is, one has to be selfish. Rather, I said, he has to be extremely selfish. And finally, the third point is to have a sense of caring and feeling and wanting to save others, to have the love for others as you love for yourself. Last week I discussed the first two points. To summarize, in order for one to save himself, we must remember that, number one, we came from Him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we are surely returning back to Him. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Number two, we human beings are here in this world of matter, for a short period of our eternal existence. We're not going to live forever in this life. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. We're going to die one day. And that short-lived period is a period of testing, which is the third point I mentioned last week. And the conclusion was that I must announce and live by the great ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught his prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Say, verily, my salah, my sacrifice, my life and death is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of the worlds. If we understand this much and truly believe in Allah, and that every time I need help, He subhanahu wa ta'ala will be on my side helping me, and that nothing can happen to me, whether it is good or bad, except with His express permission, I should then be fine. I do what I can and leave the rest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what we call tawakkul ala Allah, or relying on Allah, or putting our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we move to the second part, to save our families. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. Now we come to the part trying to help save our families from the fire of hell. Now, what is the definition of ahlikum? Ahlikum encompasses, it includes, number one, your spouse. Number two, your family, spouse and children. Number three, your relatives, parents, uncles, aunts, cousins, etc. Your kith and kin, or blood relations. Number four, your brothers and sisters in faith, the believers, the community of the believers, the ummah. And finally, your brothers and sisters in race, the human race that is, brothers and sisters from Adam and Eve. Before we briefly speak about each of the five above mentioned categories, let me share with you what Umar bin al-Khattab radiallahu anhu asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when this ayah was revealed. He asked, Umar bin al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, that is, O Messenger of Allah, we save ourselves, but how do we save our families? فَكَيْفَ لَنَا بِأَهْلِينَا. How are we going to save our families? The Prophet answered, تَنْهَوْنَهُمْ عَمَّا نَهَاكُمُ اللَّهِ وَتَأْمُرُونَهُمْ بِمَا أَمَرَ اللَّهِ. This is how you save your families. You forbid them from what Allah has made forbidden, and command them with what Allah had commanded. Actually, this is a big responsibility, and those in charge are responsible on the day of judgment. In a very famous hadith, often quoted when dealing with Islamic leadership, عن عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنهما سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول كلكم راع وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته. الإمام راع ومسؤول عن رعيته، والرجل راع في أهله وهو مسؤول عن رعيته، والمرأة راعية في بيت زوجها ومسؤولة عن رعيتها، إلى آخر الحديث. How to proceed with our families? What should the approach be? I recommend that we follow the example and the uswa of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had recommended that we do so from Surah Al-Ahzab. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَةِ وَذَكَرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. Indeed, in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a great example for you, for those who beg to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment, and mentions Allah more frequently. What is the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Inshallah, we shall find out. Shortly after Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam received the revelation, the wahi, he was commanded, وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ. Now stand up, go and warn your close relatives. Note the word, وَأَنذِرْ, warn them, because the hellfire is not a joke. Go warn them. This is from Surah Al-Shu'ara. And warn your kith and kin, your relatives, your ahl, ahlikum. He gathered all of his family, relatives, that he can gather, including Abu Lahab. He had appointed Ali radiallahu anhu to prepare a feast for them. He did, they ate, and then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave his very first public address, first speech ever in public. It was for his relatives. What did he say? إِنَّ الرَّائِدَ لَا يَكْذِبَ أَهْلَهُ وَاللَّهِ لَوْ كَذَبْتُ النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا مَا كَذَبْتُكُمْ وَلَوْ غَرَرْتُ النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا مَا غَرَرْتُكُمْ والله الذي لا إله إلا هو إني أو أني لرسول الله إليكم خاصة وللناس كافة والله لتموتن كما تنامون ولتبعثن كما تستيقظون وتحاسبن بما تعملون ولتجزون بالإحسان إحسانا وبالسوء سوءا وإنها لجنة أبدا أو لنار أبدا. He said, surely the guide who guides the people to a certain destination, like the guide guiding the caravan, the camels, will never betray and belie his family. I swear by God, if I belie anyone, I would not belie you. If I were to deceive anyone, I will not deceive you. You are my closest kith and kin. How can I do that? Wallahi, I swear by Allah, in which there is no God except Him. I am the Messenger of Allah sent to you, particularly my people, my kith and kin, and to the Nas, to all the people in general. Then comes the real essence of his speech. I swear by Allah that you will die just like you go to bed, just like you go to sleep every night. And that you shall be resurrected on the day of judgment, just like you wake up every morning. You will be held accountable for your deeds, and you will be rewarded. A good reward for a good deed, and a bad reward for a bad deed. And when it's all said and done, وَإِنَّهَا لَجَنَّةٌ أَبَدًا أَوْ لَنَارٌ أَبَدًا. It is either the paradise forever, or the hellfire forever. This is the approach that we have to take with our nearest kith and kin. This is the example that we have. We have to warn our families. We have to make them aware and understand that this is not the life, rather the life of the hereafter is the life. And it can be one of two things, either the hellfire or the paradise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded in Surah An-Nisa, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولِ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ. All you who believe, obey, absolute obedience to Allah. Obey Allah. وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولِ, and obey the Messenger. Absolute obedience to the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ, and those who are in charge of you. Notice, no أطيعوا before the words وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ, because obedience here cannot be absolute anymore. Obedience of the wife to the husband has to be within the limits of the Sharia. You cannot ordain or command anything to your spouse or your children that results in disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding us human beings. After Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no absolute obedience to anyone, not even Abu Bakr, what to speak of everyone else. The Messenger of Allah, the Prophet said, إِنَّمَا الطَّاعَةُ فِي الْمَعْرُوفِ. Ta'a now has to be within the bounds of Sharia. وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم لا طاعة لمخلوق في معصية الخالق. There can be no obedience to any human being that results in disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if it were your mother or your father. This is the general principle for obedience to anyone under the obedience of Allah and His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These are just introduction, so we understand the general setting in trying to carry out the duties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had assigned upon mankind in general, but we as Muslims who profess and claim the faith. Now let's talk about the first relation, the spouses. In Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the affairs of the family to the husband. He is the one responsible for his wife and his family. لقوله تعالى الرجال قوامون على النساء بما فضل الله بعضهم على بعض. Men are the maintainers of women. قوامون, they are the ones responsible, not the oppressors as we some men understand it, not the dictators, but the ones responsible for the spouses, for the people under him, for his wife and children. بِمَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. This is how Allah prefers some over others. If you have problem with that, particularly the sisters, with all this women liberation thing, ask Allah on the Day of Judgment. Allah made men in charge. It is his primary responsibility to make sure that the rights of the wife and the children are met. He has to provide for them, clothe them, shelter them, get medical attention when required, and to educate them. To teach them first the deen and then all other educations. Just as you have right over yourself, and the topmost right is to save it from burning in the hellfire, your spouse and family have right over you. The Prophet said, إِنَّا لِنَفْسِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقًّا وَلِأَهْلِكَ أَوْ لِزَوْجِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقًّا وَلِزَوْرِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقًّا. Yourself, you have right over your own self, your body. You have to give it its due rest when it's required. And your family has right upon you. Both the husband and wife must know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made forbidden on them. That knowledge comes from the Quran and the Sunnah. We are really ignorant about a lot of simple basic issues, Islamic issues. If we go back to the Quran and Sunnah and become familiar with the basic principles of halal and haram, our life, our relations with our spouses will improve tremendously. The general principle regarding halal and haram in Islam is that everything is permissible except what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made forbidden, and not the other way around, as most Muslims believe. They believe the opposite, that Islam forbids everything and only few things are permissible. This is not true. Everything is halal, mubah, jaiz, except what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made forbidden. If you think otherwise, this negative attitude will lead to despair, disappointment, and failure. Everything is halal, mubah, jaiz, except what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made forbidden. Now, of the forbidden things, we will look at Surah Al-An'am, because this is very important regarding the spouses and understanding what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made forbidden. قُلْ تَعَالَوْا أَتْلُ مَا حَرَّمَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ. Tell them, let me tell you what Allah had made forbidden on you. Number one, أَلَّا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. Do not associate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala anything, anyone, not even your own soul. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And to be good to your parents. وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ مِنْ إِمْلَاقٍ نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُكُمْ وَإِيَّاهُمْ. One of the problems we face today is the problem of abortion. Because of their lack of real faith, they have faith, they believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, both husband and wife for that matter, they think that they can't support the new child. Well, that's not the principle in Islam. The main principle in Islam in this regard is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Razzaq. He is the provider and He will provide. Don't kill your offspring. وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ خَشْيَةَ إِمْلَاقٍ. In Surah Al-Isra, نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُهُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ إِنَّ قَتْلَهُمْ كَانَ خِطْأً كَبِيرًا. This is a big sin. And they will justify the abortion by saying, well, the spirit is not there yet. It has not reached the 120 days or what have you. It's a living thing. You're killing a life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made this forbidden. Don't you worry about it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will find a way out for you, and He will provide for you and your new children and offspring, if you have real tawakkul ala Allah. We go back to the ayah, وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الْفَوَاحِشِ. Don't come near fawahish. And of the biggest fawahish is zina, committing adultery. And here, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, regarding the relationship between the husband and wife, he said, مِنْ عَلَامَاتِ الْمَرْأَ الصَّالِحَةِ. From the good signs of a righteous woman, a righteous wife, is that إِذَا نَظَرَ إِلَيْهَا سَرَّتْهُ وَإِذَا غَابَ عَنْهَا حَفِظَتْهُ وَإِذَا أَمَرَهَا أَطَاعَتْهُ. How beautiful. When he looks at her, she will please him. He's coming home tired. She will receive him with a good smile. She will prepare a meal for him, maybe a cup of tea before he takes his meal. She will try to make things easy for him. He's already stressed out to the maximum outside from the office, the traffic that he had to endure. And also, the woman should know and recognize whenever he has that desire, the natural desire, she should be right there to fulfill that desire for him, so that he doesn't look at any woman outside. وَإِذَا غَابَ عَنْهَا حَفِظَتْهُ. And when he leaves, goes out on a business trip or whatever, she will guard her chastity. She will not fool around. She will not go behind his back. وَإِذَا أَمَرَهَا أَطَاعَتْهُ. And whenever he orders her, she is ready to obey his commands. Again, as long as the commands are within the frame of the Sharia. And of course, التعايش والمعاشرة بالمعروف, to live with one another according to what is good. If both husband and wife lead their lives according to the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are guaranteed happiness in this life and a great success in the hereafter. This endeavor requires the joint efforts and struggle of both the husband and wife. Both have to support each other and help one another to be saved from the fire of hell. It is a mutual thing. In Surah At-Tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضُ يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ وَيُطِيعُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ أُولَٰئِكَ سَيَرْحَمُهُمُ اللَّهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. Surely the believing men and believing women, they are to one another supporters and protectors. They ordain good and they forbid evil. And they pray. They pray together. They wake each other in the middle of the night to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They pay their zakah and they obey Allah and His Messenger. Such people, Allah will definitely have mercy on them. Mercy on them, meaning they will succeed on the day of judgment. Inna Allah azizun hakeem. Indeed, Allah is mighty. He is all wise. قول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات فاستغفروه. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد, now we move to the second category, saving the children. My humble advice to the brothers who are not married yet and who are looking to get married inshallah ta'ala very soon is to begin their marital life by planning it. There's nothing wrong by planning your life. Among the plan is to have children. Therefore, both the husband and wife should always pray, رَبِّ هَبْ لِي مِن لَّدُنْكَ ذُرِّيَّةً طَيِّبَةً إِنَّكَ سَمِيعُ الدُّعَاءِ. Oh my Lord, give me from You a good progeny, good offspring, good children. Indeed, You hear all the supplications. وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ ربنا سورة الفرقان ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. Those who say, our Lord, give us from our spouses, the wives, the husbands, a good dhurriya to make them a delight before our eyes. وَجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا and make us leaders before the muttaqeen. Once Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses you with children, do know that it is not an easy task to raise them as you had intended, particularly for those who are living in the West where the environment is not conducive to help us help save our children. Raising the children properly from the day they are born under the guidance of Islam is a must. The children will spend the first 5 years at home with their mother. This is a great responsibility on the shoulders of the mother. وَالْمَرْأَةُ رَاعِيَةٌ فِي بَيْتِ زَوْجِهَا وَمَسْؤُولَةٌ عَنْ رَاعِيَتِهَا. The wife is a shepherd. She is a leader in the household of her husband, and she is responsible for the children. Now, what are the rights of the children? Obviously, first and foremost, when you have a brand new child, is to celebrate his birth. We don't celebrate birthdays every year, but we do celebrate the first birth, the first birthday. We call it aqiqah. And you know the rules, I don't want to go into the details, you can look those up. Number two, he or she should be given a good name. He or she should be suckled for 2 years and not get that formula that they promote. No, you have to let that iman that you have flow through the milk that you give your children. Suckle the children for 2 years or less with consultation and approval from the husband. Number four, to teach the children the Islamic values, to ingrain in them the basic beliefs, the unseen beliefs, believing in Allah, believing in the angels, believing in the messengers, believing in the books, believing in the hereafter, in the qadr. You know what they say? There's a couplet in Arabic. العلم في الصغر كالنقش على الحجر. When you teach him at such a young age, it's like you are engraving on stone. They will never forget it. This is your chance. Don't wait. If you are waiting, there's a big storm awaiting them outside in the real world. But if you raise them from day one on good solid Islamic principles, inshallah, Allah will guide them, بإذن الله تعالى. So you should teach them the Islamic greetings, the masnoon dua, the memorization of the Quran, to speak good manners and akhlaq, to respect the elders, like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَقِّرُوا كَبِيرَكُمْ وَارْحَمُوا صَغِيرَكُمْ, and so on and so forth. And the rights of the children upon the parents, of course, بِرُّ الْوَالِدَيْنِ, to be obedient to the parents, to help them in their old age, and not say a word of contempt to them, not to say the word of to them, but rather to help them and assist them in their old age, as they helped you and assisted you while you are young and you were helpless. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرَ أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. Say good word to the parents. Don't be impatient. And then, وَخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ ذُلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمُهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِ صَغِيرًا. Always be good to them. And lower your wings of mercy to them. They may be at this old age, become very talkative. You need patience. You need to be considerate. And always pray for them and say, Oh my Lord, رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِ صَغِيرًا. Oh my Lord, have mercy on them as they raised me while I was a little child. Then we move into the rights of the relatives, kith and kin. And very briefly, you know, to keep the relations intact, صِلَةُ الرَّحْمِ, between your immediate family, the relatives, the cousins, the uncles, the aunts, all of those individuals that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made close to you. Keep the salatul rahm intact, even if there is some, you know, problems between the families, you should always maintain the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You should give them the due right of zakah before you go out and give anybody else. وَآتِ ذَا الْقُرْبَ حَقَّهُ. From amongst the rights of the relatives is the zakah should be paid to your relatives before you pay to anyone else. But do know that your parents, your grandparents, great-grandparents, etc. are not entitled for zakah. They are your responsibility. You have to take care of them. Any relation after that, you can give them zakah. And then of course, after that, you would have to go out to your community and ordain good and forbid evil to the best of your ability. مَنْ رَأَى مِنْكُمْ مُنْكَرًا فَلْيُغَيِّرْهُ بِيَدِهِ فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِلِسَانِهِ فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِقَلْبِهِ وَذَلِكَ أَضْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ. This is the principle regarding munkar. Any one of you who sees munkar should try to change it by force if he can. This is why it's so important. In an Islamic family, there is no choice. In Islam, once you say, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله, there is no choice anymore. Those who tell you, لا إكراه في الدين, this is baseless. لا إكراه في الدين, no compulsion in religion, applies only to the non-believers, not the believers. The father can enforce the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has to. The mother has to enforce the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this la ikraha fi din does not apply. We have to help and assist one another in attaining the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, munkar, change it by force. If you can't, with your tongue, say that this is wrong. And if you can't, just feel in your heart that whatever they are doing, whether they are your relatives or someone else, that this is bad. And the same goes to the non-Muslims who are your brothers and sisters in race, the human race. They are from Adam and Eve. It is our responsibility to help them and assist them, save themselves from falling in the pit of the hellfire, inshallah ta'ala. For this I spoke about the fifth obligation, what the Quran demands from Muslims, to go out and take the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the non-believers. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us all, help ourselves and help our families, save ourselves from the fire of hell. Allahumma ameen. Inna Allahumma malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabiyya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammadin kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammadin kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqan warzuqna ittiba'ah wa arina al-batila batilan warzuqna ijtinabah. Allahumma waffiqna lima tuhibbu wa tarda warhamna bi rahmatika الواسع يا أرحم الراحمين. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين, وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. وأقم الصلاة يرحمني ويرحمكم الله.